Wall Street veteran Bernard Madoff has been arrested and charged with running a $50 billion Ponzi scheme.
Congress wants to know what caused the Enron meltdown.
Now, while the collective rage currently is focused on WorldCom,
Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski was convicted of looting hundreds of millions of dollars.
This is one of the biggest fraud cases ever.
Their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Find out more on this week's episode of White Collars, Red Hands.
When we think of small towns, we often think about picket-lined streets with children skipping on the sidewalk, people who don't lock their doors, and neighbors who count on each other. Everyone knows everyone, and it's a safe haven against the dark and scary world. But we also know that small towns can be culty. We've heard of the people sitting on their front lawns with guns threatening, "Get off my lawn!" Today's story focuses on Hampton County, South Carolina, small town, home of the Murdoch family, and how the mirage of a perfect, happy, tight-knit family can be destroyed with greed, slander, and murder. Find out what happened on this week's, the season finale of White Collars, Red Hands.
Man. Small town America, right? Where there's a little general store and everyone knows everyone, and you can't go out without someone recognizing you, and everyone is either overtly or subtly racist.
Oh yeah,
sorry, that was just my experience.
Same.
Oh well, maybe it's universal then.
How about that? How about that?
But yeah, we're on to that. It's the season finale of 14. Season 14,
oh, wow.
Y'all. It's been a run. We're like 3.5 years deep into this podcast.
We are. Damn.
All right.
Are you sick of me yet?
Huh? I was sick of you before we started. Nina.
Honestly, yeah, probably.
But now I've tied myself.
I'm like a bad habit.
I can't quit you. I don't know what that's
from.
What's
the song?
That's something. It's a reference.
Da-na-na-na-na, like a bad habit. It's Harry Styles.
I don't know. You know what?
Or actually, I don't know if it's Harry Styles.
It's probably bad habit. I'm going to take a risk.
Yeah. I'm like the old ball and chain over here. It's not his girlfriend of 8 years. It's me.
Yeah, I know. She's great. I keep her around because I like her. You're just around.
Here.
Yeah.
I'm just here. Yeah. Well, we should probably tell them our names.
I'm Kishan.
And I'm Nina. And like we said, season 14 finale, we are going to be talking about the Murdoch family. A lot of people mispronounce their name. It is Murdoch, not Murdaw, because people in the South don't know how to pronounce their own names.
I'm about to say, I'm almost about to retcon their name and be like, you're wrong, actually. You're wrong about your name.
It's not spelled the way it sounds at all.
Just put a C in it then. Yeah. Put a C. Yeah. Put a K. There's multiple sounds that make the K sound, right?
Yeah. They could switch out the GH at the end for a CK.
Yeah, you chose none of it. Yeah, good job.
But you did none of that.
Good job.
I do want to... this, obviously, we are talking about Alec Murdoch. And the entire Murdoch family today. This has been a highly sensationalized story for the last, I don't know, 2.5 years, probably, maybe longer.
Whoa, was that longer?
Like 3 years, yeah.
Oh, man.
And if you live in South Carolina, it's been the last 5 years. So, you know, there's a lot of information out here on this. For the sake of time, tried to give you as much information as possible while not making this podcast 2 hours long. If you are extremely invested in this story and you really want to learn more about it beyond what we're going to cover today, I would highly suggest that you check out the Murdaw Murders podcast by Mandy Matney.
A lot of M's.
M's, you know what? You're right.
But yeah.
Yeah. She is an investigative journalist in South Carolina. She has devoted a huge portion, years of her life to investigating this case. She and her fiance have a really well-detailed podcast. I listened to some of it when researching for this show, and she really goes in depth in the story. And if you like want to know every single aspect of it, I highly suggest you check out her podcast. It's like 75 episodes.
Oh my God.
So I listened to maybe five. So
I guess if you're really invested,
if you really are invested, you can
like you want to make this 75 hours of your life.
Yeah, not all. Some of the episodes are only like 20 minutes long.
It was approximate,
but you know, still,
that's still 35 hours of your life.
Yeah,
right?
it's a lot. It's a lot, but she's really well detailed. So if you want to check it out, I just wanted to give a shout out to her. So let's begin. The Murdaugh dynasty. A lot of people would call their where they lived the dynasty. And people, their family would like to argue that they didn't have a dynasty. But the official definition of the word dynasty is a line of hereditary rulers in a country or of a country. And although the Murdaugh family is not ruling over a country, they do or did rule over Hampton County, South Carolina. Now, like we said before, they love to mispronounce their names. It is Murdaugh, not Murdaugh. The father's name is Alec, not Alex, it is spelled.
But it's spelled with an X.
It is spelled Alex Murdaugh. It is pronounced Alec Murdaugh.
That's a completely different name. You can't just change your name.
I don't.
The Murdaugh one I kind of get, but Alex, like with an X and you pronounce it Alec, is wild.
Yeah, I don't know why. They could have done a C like normal people. Oops. Mandy Matney does say if you hear somebody pronouncing it Murdaugh, they don't have connections to South Carolina. So, anyways.
Proudly, by the way. I proudly don't have connections to South Carolina.
Proud to say. Alec Murdaugh's family consisted of him, his wife, and their sons Buster and Paul. All of these names will be important later, which is why I'm mentioning them now.
They named one kid Paul, and then the other one, they were like, we're going to name you like a dog.
No,
you're
going to be Buster. So Buster is a nickname, but he's known as Buster. I think his real name is either Robert or Richard. He's named after a family member. I think he is named after his great-great-grandfather. Either his great-great-grandfather or his grandfather who had basically the exact same name as him.
Either way, and I don't care.
He also went by Buster. So anyways, I don't know why. The Murdaugh family has lived in Hampton County, South Carolina for over a century and has been extremely influential in the area. From 1920 to 2006, members of the family acted as circuit solicitor of the 14th Judicial District, which expands over five counties. Locals would call the five-county district Murdaugh County. A circuit solicitor acts as a district attorney in South Carolina.
But like only over
the county.
A smaller area.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like basically, if you hold that position, you are the law and you are the order.
Where'd you pick that one up from?
That's what they were saying and everything. You are the law and you are the order.
I was like, that's not a Nina. No, that sounds stolen.
No, I stole it. I definitely stole it. But I understood what they meant. So, yeah, you're in charge. You got the big kahunas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alec Murdaugh, huge tits.
You are here. You think kahunas means tits?
What else? Oh, is it balls?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That man has bigger tits than balls.
Oh, nice.
I don't know.
The way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, the way God intended it. In 1910, Randolph Murdaugh Sr. founded the civil litigation firm that is now known as the Parker Law Group in Hampton, South Carolina. The Murdaugh family, and so like basically since then, they've all been lawyers as well.
How big is Hampton, South Carolina?
We're getting to it, okay. Actually. The Murdaugh family has been seen as untouchable in the county. Many people were afraid of the family and wouldn't mess with them due to the history that they had in the county. It's also good to note that the Murdaugh family was not only extremely influential, but extremely wealthy, especially in the small town of Hampton.
Hence the reason they're
in charge
on the podcast.
Yeah. Hampton is home to about... So, Hampton County... The town Hampton is much smaller, but Hampton County is home to about 19,000 residents and has a household income of about 32,000.
That's like nobody.
Right.
Nobody lives in this county.
Correct.
That was the size of my town and it was small.
No, I'm pretty sure my county that I'm from has 5,000.
That's tiny.
I know. I'm just telling you. Okay. Not a big place. Not a big place. And they're poor. The house, the median household income is $32,000. That is not much. Okay. The county is known for their watermelon festival that takes place each year, and they have a competition to see who can spit their watermelon seeds the farthest. Clearly, a lot of fun to be here. All right. So, kind of gives you a background of the where the scene is set. Okay. Also, lots of rivers in this place. Lots of rivers, and that's going to be important when we talk.
Lots of rivers? It sounds like a random fun fact, but
we're going to get to why that's important.
All right.
So the Murdoch family was one that was dysfunctional, to say the least. From all sources, it actually, even though they acted like they were tight-knit, they really weren't. Paul Murdoch's ex-girlfriend stated that it seemed as though the mother, Maggie, favored her older son, Buster, over Paul. The family were huge drinkers, and it seemed like they even encouraged their children to drink alongside them. It was not uncommon for Paul to be absolutely wasted all the time during high school.
Oh, you know, just high school kids being high school kids. You never got drunk with your parents?
No.
Oh, all right.
But you had a different childhood than me. All
right. Very.
Very. Friends of Paul would... They came up with a nickname for him when he would get drunk, and they would call him Timmy. That's a name his friend Anthony Cook gave him, because they said he would turn into a completely different person when he was drinking. So they gave him they were like, that's his alter ego. He's Timmy now.
Oh, a cool person? Like a fun person actually, to be around?
No, he turned into an asshole. He was really nasty and mean when he got drunk. And when he would when Timmy came out, it was an indication of how drunk he would get.
I'm just saying, you couldn't have picked, I don't know, a stronger name. Like you're saying, man, he gets crazy scary when he's drunk. He will hurt you. He becomes Timmy. What? He goes from Paul to Timmy? A child with two fairly godparents? What?
I mean, Timmy is an average kid. Paul's not.
He's always drunk at school.
Yeah. Mom and Dad and Buster always giving him the booze. So on February 23rd, 2019, Paul Murdoch, his girlfriend, and several other friends went to an oyster roast that was being held by somebody that someone else that they knew. All right. Instead of taking a car to the oyster roast, they decided to take one of the Murdoch's family boats to the oyster roast since the friend lived on the river. And from what I understand about this town, lots of things are accessible by the river. It is noted that they knew that there would be alcohol checkpoints along the way while they on the roads, and that's why they decided to take the boat. Anthony Cook, who was on the boat, says that they took the boat to be spontaneous. He doesn't say anything about the checkpoints, but all other sources note that they knew there would be checkpoints that evening, and they were underage. At this point, everybody was 19 or everyone on this boat was either 19 or 20.
So would they have boat checkpoints?
No, they took the boat because they knew on the road that there would be driving checkpoints, and they knew they would be drinking that night. Okay. So they didn't want to get caught. So they took the boat.
I literally just imagined cop boats out, be like, hey, pull over. Where are you going tonight?
A barge.
They're 20 feet away from you. Or
a tugboat. A tugboat would be funnier.
Where are you going tonight?
Huh? Where are you in?
You guys can you get on the water and walk a straight line for me, please?
Can you swim in a straight line, please?
Please.
The boat that they took was only 17 feet long, which is actually not that big. And they shoved 6 people on it, and it didn't have working lights. Before going to the oyster roast, Paul was seen buying alcohol from Parker's Kitchen, which is a gas station. Despite him only being 20 years old, he was able to purchase the alcohol using his brother Buster's ID. Even though Buster was 7 inches taller than him and 60 pounds heavier.
7 inches taller? Yeah. Jesus, Buster's a big man.
Yeah, actually, I think Paul was just short. I don't know. He didn't look very tall in any of the pictures.
He's 5'6"?
I 5'7", maybe.
Rough.
I don't know. I don't actually know. I didn't look up how tall I was. Once they got the alcohol, they were off to the oyster roast. It's noted that the friend group became progressively more drunk during the party.
As you do at a party.
As you do, especially Paul. When it came time to leave the party, a lot of people, including Anthony Cook, who was on the boat, suggested that they either get an Uber or spend the night at the friend's house, mainly because of how much they had been drinking. And that night, it was 60-ish degrees, which even though that's not super cold, that gets cold on the water. Like when you're on the water, in the water's probably not very warm either. Because when was this? February?
Don't tell me this ends with like Paul floating on a door, like holding onto his girlfriend.
I wish it ended that well. Like,
you gotta, what does he say?
You gotta, I don't know what he says.
Whatever.
Okay, I don't remember when.
Anyone who's like seen Titanic.
I know what you're talking about. They were like, hey, spend the night, you know, whatever. Paul refused and demanded that they take the boat back. While they were heading back, it's about midnight at this point, Paul and one of the other friends on the boat decide that they want to take shots. They park the boat, which it took them two tries to park the boat, at a dock, and they go to the bar, Luther's, and order two rounds of shots, lemon drop shots and a cup of Jaeger. All right. Which I think is just like a neat pour that they took.
Oh, okay.
There's conflicting sources that say that Paul was pretty fucking drunk at this point. There's some sources that say that while he was in the bar, he almost got into a fight. They were only in the bar for 9 minutes, but in the 9 minutes they were in the bar, they said that he almost got into a fight and started throwing chairs. However, there is security footage and we don't see that in the security footage. So we're not, that's like a little iffy on whether or not to believe him.
I'd believe the camera footage above anything.
Correct.
Else. Yeah.
However, when they are leaving the bar, because there were cameras on the dock, it is clear by watching him walk that he's heavily intoxicated.
Oh, he's obviously drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. He's heavily intoxicated because before they even left for the oyster roast, he drank six beers. And so then...
Damn, dude.
He drank six beers, drove the boat to the oyster roast, natty lights. Drank six natty lights, which are like water.
Yeah, it barely counts.
They're just water. And then I don't know how much he drank at the roast and then left and then took two rounds of shots.
Paul, you can't drink this much. You're a short king, okay?
Short king.
Maybe Buster could fit six natty lights in and drive this boat, but... I don't think you're pulling it, bud.
Paul wouldn't put funnels in his mouth and funnel alcohol down his throat. So, I mean, he was a heavy drinker.
Oh. That sounds like a healthy habit.
Healthy habits. Healthy habits. Friends tried to convince Paul that Anthony should drive the boat, but Paul refused, saying that it was his fucking boat and that he was the only one that was going to drive it. They pulled the boat out of the dock around 1 a.m., after they left the dock, Paul was driving extremely slow, and it was said that he took his clothes off, which was normal for him to do when he got drunk.
All of them?
No, he was in his underwear.
Okay.
While he was driving, Paul would leave the steering wheel unattended and pace around the boat, and then he also kept yelling at his girlfriend. When he would leave the steering wheel, his friend Connor would adjust the wheel so that they would stay on course. Everyone was getting angry on the boat because they just wanted to get back. They were tired. Paul was being a little bit belligerent and annoying. There was one last fight where Paul yelled at his girlfriend, where he pushed her, spit on her, and slapped her in the face. This was not the first time that he had gotten physical with her. They had like a really toxic relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you get to that conclusion?
Well, if you watch the Netflix documentary, she goes way more into detail about how bad the relationship is.
I don't have to. You were succinct in that one sentence. I get it.
Yeah, I guess he was like calling her a whore. And then he also said something about like, it's fucking crazy, like how your dad doesn't make enough money to support your family. And like, I don't know why we're doing that on the boat right now.
Oh, my God.
Because we want you to just fucking drive the boat.
While you're drunk, put your pants up.
Right. Come on, Timmy. Paul then went to the steering wheel and started accelerating quickly, and the boat was going way too fast. The boat then struck a piling at Archer's Creek Bridge. So that's like one of those poles.
Okay.
So he ran the boat into the pole. Five of the friends were still there, a few of them with serious injuries, but Mallory Beach was thrown into the water and could not be found. Connor Cook called 911, and this is the 911 call that we hear him make.
What bridge is this? 911, where's your emergency? Hello? Police, fire, any of us? Hello?
We're in a boat crash on Archer Street.
Where about on Archer Street?
In Archer Street, the only bridge on Archer Street.
Archer Street?
Archer's Creek.
Archer's Creek. Archer's Creek.
Is it?
Okay. What's going on?
It's Bob Paris Island.
Right. What's going on?
We're in a boat crash.
You're in a what kind of a?
A boat crash.
A boat? Did you say a boat crash?
A boat crash.
Okay, so you're at, are you at the dock? Hello, are you at the dock?
No, we just crashed in a boat.
Okay, are you in the water or are you?
We're in the boat.
Okay.
We have someone missing.
Okay. Hang on one second, okay?
Why did that 911 operator seem so upset the whole time? Just like, oh, what? Archer, street.
Yeah, I don't think he is that hard to understand in that. However, Connor Cook, who made the call, his jaw had been broken in the accident, and then he called 911, which, you know, some people say that's why she couldn't understand what he was saying, but I think that he was pretty clear in what he was saying. Because the 911 operator was quite frankly incompetent and she gave shitty directions, EMS were originally sent to the wrong bridge and did not arrive to them for over 30 minutes.
Okay, I'm glad that translated, because I was like, this person seems to hate their job.
No, she just was like,
you're
not
a 911 operator.
Yeah, like, she was not good at her job. And like, I don't know. I didn't think it was that hard to understand what he was saying.
Yeah. Is there only one bridge on Archer's Creek?
Yes.
Oh, well, then, yeah, there's no... She repeated it back to him at one point where she definitely said creek. So,
right. When waiting for police, Paul was adamant that someone let him call his grandfather while they were waiting. When police arrived, they still couldn't find Mallory Beach. Upon arrival, Mallory's boyfriend, Anthony Cook, was extremely upset and refused to leave the scene until they found Mallory. Cook was also quoted saying that Paul was a Murdoch and good fucking luck getting him into trouble for this. That's what he said that to police. There was almost a fight that broke out between Paul and Anthony when Anthony saw Paul smiling and he asked Paul if what he thought was going on was, quote, fucking funny. I think he was just like too drunk to even, I don't think he actually thought anything. Truthfully, he didn't think anything was funny.
Anthony's also pissed though because his girlfriend's probably dead.
Correct.
And it's Paul's fault. So I mean like.
Correct.
Right.
The friends were taken to a hospital. Alec and Randolph, who is the grandfather, Murdoch, came quickly. Volunteer solicitor badges in full display. So, like, they came with their solicitor badges on.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, it was, like, kind of like a flex, I guess. Like, a power flex.
What is with these people, like, fucking Joel Greenberg and being like, I'm a tax collector. And these guys being like, I'm the solicitor. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Great for
no
you.
No one cares. After being wheeled into their separate rooms, Alec was making a ton of phone calls and was going from room to room telling the friends not to say anything and that he would, quote, take care of things. It was obvious that Alec and Randolph were more concerned with covering up the situation that happened with Paul than worrying about Mallory's disappearance. When the police tried to question Paul, his grandfather refused their entry into his room, saying that they couldn't talk to him because he was, quote, drunker than Cooter Brown. Which I did not.
Cooter Brown.
So Cooter Brown. Okay, I had to look this up. So Cooter Brown was a man who lived in the South, or lived on the border of the North and the South in the Civil War. This is a made up story. And they were like drafting, right? And he was like, I live on the border of both. Like, I live in between both. I don't know whether to go to the North or the South. And so he stayed drunk during the entire Civil War so that they couldn't use him in war. It's a stupid story.
Great.
Yeah. There was a lot of mishandling of the situation that was done by police in regards to this case. Paul Murdoch was not given a sobriety test at the scene of the crime. No one knows why. When his blood was drawn at the hospital, so he was acting so crazy at the hospital, they assumed that he had a brain injury, and so that's why they drew his blood. And it was shown that his blood alcohol levels were 3 times over the legal limit for driving.
0.24.
I think, yeah.
Something. No, it's 0.24.
Okay.
Well,
it was really 3.5. It was really 3.5.
Oh, so it's over that.
Yeah, it's over 3 times. He was not arrested despite his belligerent behavior and being named as the driver of the boat. And he was also, like, cussing out the police officers, like, being nasty to the hospital people. No officers called the beach family when it happened. Family members of friends who were in the boat incident called the family. So, like, when... Because everybody was calling their parents when it happened. Mm-hmm. They were like, get here right now, blah, blah, blah. When they arrived, they were like, has anybody called Mallory's family? And police were like, no. And they were like, you need to call her. Call them. And, like, no one did. And other people's family members called. Although the Murdochs tried to blame Connor Cook and said that he was driving the boat instead of Paul, because of the various friends' injuries, it was obvious that Paul was the driver of the boat. Like, basically, somebody got made, like, a drawing of the boat and, like, figured out with who had what injuries that it was impossible that Connor was driving the boat. But Alec and Randolph tried to frame Connor and say that it was them and tried to, like, convince Connor's family that, like, we're going to say that Connor was driving. And they were like, no, the fuck we're not. There was a lot of evidence that was lost that night. Paul Murdoch was eventually charged with 3 counts of boating under the influence and boating under the influence with great bodily injury, which was something I didn't know you could get. I didn't know you could get boating under the
influence. It sounds funny.
A DUI.
Like, I know this is so... It's a terrible situation, but boating under the influence is a hilarious sounding crime.
I know.
It's so serious. They need to name it something more serious.
I know. It's bad. Paul pled not guilty and was released on bond. His family claimed that he didn't get any special treatment, but that was not true. He had never gone to prison. He never wore an orange jumpsuit. He wasn't handcuffed. And when he got sentenced to prison, he never even had a real mugshot. His mugshot was taken in a plaid polo against the wall in the courtroom.
Like, it's like a country club photo?
Yeah, literally. It just looks like he... Oh, got a regular picture taken. Mallory Beach was unfortunate. Mallory Beach's body was unfortunately found a week later on March 3rd, 2019, and she had passed away. Very sad. It was sad. I held it together talking about it better than watching all this shit. I didn't actually cry, but I almost cried.
The first couple times you said it, I thought they crashed into a beach called Mallory Beach.
No, that's the girl's name.
Yeah. Well, I know that now.
Idiot.
Her name is Beach.
It's her last name.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Mallory Beach could be a place.
Yeah, you're right.
It probably is a place.
It probably is.
So?
You're right. So, the events that happened in 2019 were horrific, but Mallory Beach is not the only person to die at the hands of the Murdoch family. This episode might run a little longer than most because of all the details, but I felt like it was a disservice not to talk about the other two people whose deaths have been tied to the Murdoch family. The next person we're going to talk about is Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith's body was found on July 8th, 2015, in the middle of Sandy Run Road. Stephen's mother found out about his death by listening to the radio on the way to work. She heard that a body had been found on Sandy Run Road, and she knew that it was close to his father's house. Stephen's mother called his sister, asking if everything was okay. Her daughter said, "Mom, did Stephen stay with you? He didn't come home last night." Hours later, she had the confirmation that her son was dead. Stephen's death was believed to be an accident. His car was found 3 miles away with... His car was found 3 miles away from his body with the gas cap off. Police speculated that the car had run out of gas and that he started walking down the road and then was hit by a car. However, there was no evidence of that at the scene of the crime. There were no tire marks, and Stephen's injuries didn't coincide with being hit by a car. His death was then speculated to be a shooting homicide, even though there was no bullet found and there was no bullet wound. Most officials do not believe that his death was a hit and run. Stephen had a 7-inch gash on the side of his head and also suffered blunt force trauma to the head. Even though you ask a bunch of people, you ask officers, like, do you think this was a hit and run? And they say no. His death was ruled a hit and run. And the coroner believed even though one of the coroners believed that it was a homicide. So basically, it was they were trying to cover something up. What they thought happened was, you know, he ran out of gas. He started walking down the road late at night, and that he got hit by a car and the, by like the car mirror. And then that's
because that's what I was thinking. I was like, what if it was just like, because they have those trucks out there, like big trucks, right? So what if it was like something high up that just happened to hit him in the head?
Yeah,
and it would look like a blunt force trauma, but.
However, like there were no, I mean, if you hit someone like that, you're going to slam on your, you would think you'd slam on your brakes. Or,
unless you suck, because the thing is they might not slow down while approaching them. Like you would, if they were right in front of you, if they hit the mirror, because you think you're getting out of the way. Like basically if you were speeding at someone, you're like, okay, well I'm going to swerve out of the way, but they don't swerve enough and hit them with the mirror. Then you might be like, and then you just hear the tunk and you just keep going.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, was, like, he didn't have enough road rash for them to believe that he had been hit by a car.
Well, I'm saying if he literally just got, like, bonked and fucking fell down.
I guess whatever. I did not look at his, I didn't look at his maimed body. But apparently, like, whatever injuries he has sustained really didn't, it didn't make sense that he got hit by a car.
I don't know. Given this, I feel like there might be some avenue. Obviously, there was at least some debate, but yeah.
Right. Highway Patrol ended up being put in charge of this case, even though they don't typically deal with homicides or with deaths like this. But they were put in charge, and they were not at the autopsy because they were told that it wasn't a hit and run. And there was just a lot of confusion of who was supposed to take this case, what's going on, there was just a lot of cover. Like, it was just weird. Lots of things were not being followed as they should have. The evidence of a hit and run really wasn't there. And for one of the reasons for this is that Steven's loosely tied shoes were still on his feet. And when you get hit by a car, apparently your shoes usually fly off. I didn't know this until I started researching this. When Highway Patrol was finally given the case, they couldn't even find his body. They didn't even know where it had gone. His body was at the funeral home with his clothes there as well. And all of the evidence had been tampered with at this point because, like, his clothes had been taken off and they were put in a brown paper bag. It was also noticed that police did not canvass the neighborhood after the incident happened. And they didn't interview anybody who lived nearby asking if people heard anything. Steven's family does not believe that he was killed by a vehicle because he was too street smart for that to happen. Highway Patrol started interviewing people about Steven's death on July 14th, 2015. A man who claimed to be Steven's boyfriend said that people had been messing with Steven and messing with his car. Steven also said that that night that he was murdered, that people were harassing him at a bar. So he was like texting this guy saying that. Mm-hmm. His family also says that this guy wasn't actually his boyfriend, but whatever.
Given this, where they're at, would he even tell his family?
He was out.
Okay.
And like, sorry, you look at pictures of him and you know he's gay. When interviewing Steven's family, a rumor was brought up about Steven Smith and Buster Murdoch being intimate. They had originally been classmates, so that's how they knew each other. Mm-hmm. It was also alleged that Buster Murdoch, so what they ended up thinking was that Steven had actually been killed by a group of men. Like, this kind of reminded me of the case, I don't know if you know about the case of Matthew Shepard. But he was a man who was killed in Wyoming and they killed him because he was gay. He was killed much more brutally, but I mean, we're not comparing, but he was like tied to a fence and shit. Anyways. But so they alleged what they thought ended up happening was that Steven had been killed by a group of men. It was alleged that Buster Murdoch was in the group of men who was harassing Steven that night at the bar. Unfortunately, in 2016, the case went cold and no one got arrested for Steven's murder. It has since been reopened, mainly because of the events that we will be talking about shortly in 2021. So nothing has been found out yet, but maybe Steven will eventually get justice. The next person we're going to talk about is Gloria Satterfield. Gloria Satterfield was a housekeeper and nanny for the Murdochs for over 20 years. She spoke very highly of the family. She loved them. She loved working for them. They were all very close. Paul Murdoch was especially close to Gloria. Paul's ex stated that Gloria gave him the attention that his mother didn't, and for that reason, they really had a very tight bond. On February 2nd, 2018, Gloria died at the Murdochs' hunting home from a fall. It was said that she fell up some brick stairs. Allegedly what happened was she was coming up the steps. They have a bunch of hunting dogs because this is their 17,000 acre hunting property. The dogs ran out, ran under her feet, and she tripped and fell on the brick steps.
But she just fell onto them.
Allegedly.
Okay.
And when she fell, she hit her head, which caused a brain hemorrhage. She spent 3 weeks in the hospital before she died from her injuries. It is said that during her stay at the hospital, only Maggie Murdoch came to visit her. That's the mom. When she passed away, there was no autopsy done, and it was said that she died of natural causes, which isn't true because she wouldn't have died of natural causes because she'd fallen. Like, she wouldn't have died if she hadn't have fallen. She was only in her 50s.
Yeah, it's an accidental death.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it natural causes. At the funeral, Alec Murdoch told her two sons that they would receive a payout from their mother's death. He told them that he would get them in touch with a lawyer that would file a wrongful death lawsuit against him. He set them up with a lawyer who was a friend of his. So he was like, yeah, so he's like, you guys are going to sue me and then I'm going to give you the money.
What?
It doesn't make sense.
That's really weird. Yeah.
Correct. So he set them up with a lawyer friend of his. Long story short, it is pretty complicated, but Alec Murdoch got a 4.3. He had also told the boys at the funeral, he was like, I'm going to give you each $100,000 for your mom's death. But Alec Murdoch actually got $4.3 million in the insurance settlement from the death of Gloria Satterfield that he had opened up. So he had like, he had filed an insurance settlement and then he got $4.3 million out of it.
For what?
For her dying.
How is he getting money property. From her dying?
He had apparently opened some sort of life insurance thing on her and then got the money.
How? Are they related?
No, but she worked for him.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know.
I don't really understand how he was able to get this much money, but he got this much money from the death of Gloria Satterfield. And instead of giving her sons what they were owed, he kept every cent of this money for herself, and her sons received none of it.
So they never sued him?
So when they got in contact with that lawyer who was a friend of Alec, they kept giving them the runaround and like screwed them over. And so he never got sued. And they just never saw the money.
Woof.
I would be in this place too if I were them. I think they just didn't know much about the law and they didn't understand much about the law. I don't think they totally knew what their rights were. And, you know, you've got this guy who your mom's worked for the last 20 something years. It's a person that you trust. It's a person that she trusts. You know, he's never done any wrong to you before. And he's telling you that he's going to give you this money. And then, you know, after so long of being given the runaround, I think that they just like didn't know what to do, which is not cool. Since all this happened, Alec Murdoch has come forward and said that he made up that the dogs tripped Gloria. So the cause of her death remains a mystery. He has been charged in 2021. Alec Murdoch was charged with 2 counts of obtaining property by false pretenses because of this. Her family plans to exhume the body to see if there was any foul play. And police have reopened her case to continue investigating it to try to figure out what was going on. Based on the 911, I mean, I know that people can like really act in the moment and really put on a show.
Yeah.
But based on the 911 call, it really did seem like this was some sort of accident. My personal opinion, we'll see if we ever get an answer, if like they ever do find out what happened to her. I do think that her death, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think they purposefully killed her. But what they did do that was wrong was not give her children any money when they profited $4.3 million off of her. Because like in the 911 call, Maggie makes the 911 call, and then Paul is also on the 911 call, and Paul is like beside himself. And truthfully, I don't think he was that good of an act. Like, he wasn't that old.
Was he Paul?
He was Paul.
Or was he Timmy?
No, he was Paul.
Okay.
It seemed like he was Paul.
Okay.
Seemed like he was Paul, not Timmy. So he was younger, though, because in 2018, he would have been like 18, 17, 18. So, yeah. So, but wait, there's more. You think there can't be any more death, right? Well, you're wrong. How many more people have to die at the hands of the Murdochs? Unfortunately, the story of Alec Murdoch does not end here. On June 7th, 2021, a call was made to 911 by Alec Murdoch. And we are going to listen to part of it here.
Hampton County 911, what is your emergency?
This is Alec Murdoch at 4147 Moselle Road. I need the police to assist immediately. My wife and child got badly.
Okay, you said 4147 Moselle Road in Allison?
Sir?
You said 4147 Moselle Road in Allison?
Yes, sir. 4147 okay. Moselle Road.
Stay on the line with me, okay? Hurry. Yes, sir. Stay on the line with me, okay?
We don't have to listen to the whole thing.
My God, was he making that call from an echo chamber?
I think he was running around with it on speakerphone. Like, that's what it sounded like. Like, he was running around with it on speakerphone.
And that guy heard him correctly, so...
I don't know how he heard him correctly.
I'm just saying.
I had a hard time understanding him.
Archer's Creek, okay? All right, that guy can do his job.
Archer Street?
That guy can do his job.
Alec Murdoch had discovered his wife and son. Oh, yeah, sorry. Alec Murdoch had discovered his wife and son Paul's bodies on the ground outside the dog kennels in the backyard of their hunting home, the same home that Gloria Satterfield had passed away at. Alec had claimed that he had taken a nap. And then around 1 p.m., I'm sorry, and then around 9 p.m., took his father to the hospital and then went to visit his mother who has dementia. When he returned to the home, he found Maggie and Paul's brutally shot bodies. Maggie was shot multiple times with an automatic rifle in the chest and back. Paul was shot in the chest and then was also shot in the neck and head with a shotgun. Paul's injuries were so bad that he was unrecognizable. It is noted that the killer shot Maggie and Paul with two different types of weapons, which is very unusual, and made police think for quite a while that there were two killers.
Yeah, and that's what you naturally think, right? Yeah.
When police arrived, they immediately needed to turn the case over to the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, or SLED. Despite knowing that SLED was on their way, over 24 different people in law enforcement visited the scene of the crime, which is way more than should ever be at a crime scene. It is suspected that evidence had been tampered with. There were three coroners that came to pronounce Paul and Maggie dead, which a lot of people find to be really unnecessary. Like, why do you need three people to say these people are dead?
I mean, I have no idea how coroners usually are.
But I don't know either.
I guess, yeah.
It is suspected that Paul and Maggie died around 9 p.m. when Alec had been out. Police made it clear that there was no danger to the public, even though the two had been murdered. And the residents of the county did not feel safe after this happened. Like, even though they're like, no, there's no threat. They're like, we don't know who killed these people. Like, no, I don't feel safe. Because they were unsure of who murdered Paul and Maggie, the family offered a $100,000 reward for anyone who had information about the murders that would lead to an arrest. But it had like a time limit. It had a 3-month time limit.
Oh, great.
They're like, so you got, if you, I think it was like, you have until September 30th.
But after that, we don't care.
We don't care anymore. Actually. Yeah. So, fuck it. It was said that Paul was getting death threats before the murders and that victims of the boating accident were suspected in killing him. When police questioned the families of the boating victims and the boating victims themselves, everybody was super cooperative and it was evident that none of them killed Paul and Maggie.
Not even Anthony?
Anthony was the most Anthony and Connor were both extremely upset that they were even questioned, which I was like, come on, you guys.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. You would have a motive, right?
Because Anthony was like, this guy was one of, like, yeah, I'm mad as hell that he killed my girlfriend, but, like, this guy was one of my best friends, and so why?
I don't care. You're not my best friend anymore if you kill my girlfriend, dog.
Yeah, not like that. Not how that went.
We've got to sever the tie somewhere.
This is a boundary.
That's my line. I'm sorry.
My boundary is you killing my girlfriend. You can kill my mom, but not my girlfriend.
Yeah, come on, man.
Buster Murdoch was quickly ruled out as a suspect because he was out of town when the deaths happened. I think he was in North Carolina. Pretty sure he was in North Carolina.
Oh, man. You already seen South. You got to see North, right?
Oh, my gosh. Off topic. Buster Murdoch has the reddest hair you've ever seen in your life. Looks like Heat Miser.
Oh, yeah, they're gingers. If you didn't know they were gingers, imagine all these people with gingers.
Well, the mom's not a ginger, but the dad's a ginger, Buster's a ginger, and Paul's a ginger. Buster has the most fire engine red hair I've ever seen in my life. He literally looks like Heat Miser from A Year Without a Santa Claus.
Nice.
That's what that man looks like. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's my favorite Christmas movie. Go fuck yourself.
We've never watched it together. It's one of mine.
How often do we get together and watch Christmas movies in the season? Yeah. So I don't know. You said that like we've watched Elf and we've watched Santa Claus that comes to town and we've seen Four Christmases, but we've never seen this one. No, we've never sat down and watched a Christmas movie ever together.
We've never watched a movie together.
Yeah, that actually, yep, that checks out.
I was like, when would we have done that?
I don't know.
Well, now we got to have a Christmas movie party.
I guess next year.
Next year, we're watching A Year Without a Santa Claus.
All right.
Anyways. Investigators could not find the murder weapons. However, the Murdochs did own both of those guns, and they were not turned into police. I'm going to speed this up because, like, we could be here for 2 hours talking about this, just so you know. So, if you want more details, Google it, I guess. I don't know. Which I guess is really defeats the purpose of you listening to this podcast.
Yeah, come on, man.
Sorry.
Stop plugging other podcasts and just saying that we're equivalent to Google.
I'm only plugging the other podcast because she has 75 episodes about it.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's true.
That's super in-depth. More in-depth than I was willing to get. On September 3rd, 2021, the law firm that Alec worked for, the one that his family started, found that Alec was misappropriating funds and stealing money from clients and called him to resign. So that happened after his family was murdered. The next day...
Rough week.
This is a rough year for Alec Murdoch.
Ugh.
The next day, September 4th, 2021, Alec Murdoch calls police and tells them that someone shot him in the head while he was changing a tire on the side of the road. What actually had happened was Murdoch had hired a friend of his to murder him so that his son Buster would be able to get his $10 million life insurance policy. However, he didn't read the part about suicide and if how you commit suicide, even if it's like a what's that called? Assisted suicide.
Yeah.
You don't get the money. So the whole plan doesn't really make a lot of sense. And he wasn't thinking rationally.
Well, I think the idea is that no one finds out you hired the person to kill you.
Correct. But right? I feel like the guy who killed him was like very close. Like I felt like it wasn't obscure enough.
Dude, just like accidentally like be walking next to a cliff with somebody and then just fake fall off.
Right.
How would they ever prove that you did it on purpose?
If you can't.
Just make a little show out of it. Like, and then fall off the cliff.
Right.
Right. Like, what are they going
to
do?
I don't know. He tried to get his friend to kill him and then it didn't work. A statement was released a few days later that Alec Murdoch had been struggling with opioid addiction for the last 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, I was like, how do you live if you've been addicted to opioids that long?
What the hell?
What the hell?
He was a lawyer.
I know. And he claimed that he was stealing money from his clients and the law firm to help fund his addiction, which allegedly cost him $60,000 per week. What were you taking?
What the fuck? I thought cocaine was expensive.
Well, apparently not as expensive as that.
He's like only taking benzos that, that were like discontinued 30 years ago?
He might have been. He might have been. Many people do believe that.
Or lewds. I was thinking quaaludes. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Not that's benzos. What. Yeah. I knew what you were talking about, though. Many people find it hard to believe that he had an opioid addiction because he never acted like he was high. Now, this doesn't mean that he wasn't, but people didn't really buy it.
It's because he was always high.
Well, right. Right. That's like when people say, go take your driver's license picture when you're high. So when you get pulled over, they won't think you're high.
It's not going to make you not smell like weed.
Well, I don't know.
like what?
I don't do it. I'm just telling you what the internet told me once. I don't do it,
you fucking square.
Even though people are like, that's bullshit. You don't have an addiction. He did go to rehab. So I don't know. On September 16th, 2021, Alec Murdaugh is arrested for the suicide life insurance scheme. He is let go, but has to surrender his passport. On October 14th, 2021, Alec Murdaugh is arrested at the rehab center in Florida for swindling the Satterfield boys out of their mother's life insurance money. It's a lot of dates I'm throwing at you right now. June 28th, 2022, Alec Murdaugh is indicted for two conspiracy counts, including the narcotics count. July 14th, 2022, Alec Murdaugh is indicted for two counts of murder. Now, it is hard for police to claim that it was hard for police to claim that Alec murdered his wife and son because there had been no hard proof that he had been at the scene of the crime. When Paul and Maggie were murdered, obviously everything that was on them went into evidence. Police had not been able to unlock Paul's cell phone for over a year.
They're making iPhones too good nowadays.
They're like, well, it's face recognition, but half of his face is blown off, so I can't open it.
Wait, seriously?
No, I don't know.
I could feel that being a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't know. I feel like the police should be able to unlock a locked phone, but I don't know how to unlock a locked phone that's not mine.
Hacking?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you could take it to the Apple store and be like, unlock that.
I don't think, I think, like, they literally make it.
So you can't?
Yeah, it's so secure that, like, no one can get into it except for you.
Damn. Damn. Once they were finally able to unlock it, they discovered that a Snapchat had been taken about 5 to 10 minutes before Paul's death. In the Snapchat, you can hear Alec Murdaugh in the background, even though he had claimed to not be at home at the time. Alec had no idea that this video existed, and this evidence was enough to indict Alec for the murders. Alec claimed that he was not guilty, and he can claim innocence all day long, but on March 2nd, 2023, Alec Murdaugh was found guilty of murdering his wife and son. He had also been found guilty of tax evasion, and it was estimated that he defrauded people out of about $8 million. Alec Murdaugh was sentenced to 27 years in state prison. But why did he murder? But like, here's the thing. And this is what I had been wondering the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, why did he do it? Like, why did he murder his wife and his son? Doesn't really make a whole lot of
insurance
sense.
Insurance money to buy more opioids.
It's actually not the reason. Leading up to the murders, the family was under a significant amount of pressure. You have the boating incident. Paul was about to go to trial again to get his sentencing. Also, like during this time, Mallory Beach's family was suing the Murdaughs, obviously.
As they probably should, yeah.
Obviously. And Alec was trying to claim that he had no money. And Mallory Beach's lawyer is like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
He's like, I have no money. I have a fuck ton of fentanyl, though.
I have so much fentanyl.
So if you want money, I'll give that to you.
Yeah, he claimed that they had no money. Now, bills were going unpaid in their home. However, they had multiple properties. They had a lot of toys, like lots of like trucks and boats. And you've got a 17,000 acre hunting property.
Yeah, sell something.
Right. They had... Yeah. They had multiple properties in South Carolina, multiple big properties that had a lot of money. And so that was going on at this time. They were calling his bluff on that because also during, like, around this time, his father died of cancer and his dad left him like $360,000. And then, like, there was some other, investments that, you know, he had money.
Yeah.
He had money. So that was going on. Also, Alec and Maggie were on the brink of divorce. Maggie had actually,
half of it.
Right. Maggie had actually met with divorce lawyers. Another thing that happened was, so Buster was actually in school for, he was in law school at this time. Cause he wanted to follow the family footsteps and become a lawyer. But then he had gotten kicked out of law school because he plagiarized. There was a lot. I mean, like, listen, a lot of this was happening because they're shitty. However, it's still a lot of pressure and there's a lot's happening.
Yeah. One of these things would make me anxious. All seven of them? Oh my God. Woof.
Right. It is speculated that Alec killed Maggie and Paul to buy himself time to cover up his financial crimes if the focus was now on his dead wife and son.
Didn't work.
Paul Murdoch's boating under the influence charges were dropped after he was killed. Obviously.
Great. Yeah. I was like, is that not standard practice?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, be like that one pope where they fucking hauled his dead body in and put him on trial.
I don't think I know about that.
I forget which pope it was. Literally the pope after him hated him so much that they brought that pope's dead body in, put it on trial, found him guilty, and then threw his body in the river. The River Thames. No. Is it the Tiber River that's in Italy? Whatever.
It's not the River Thames because...
I think it's the Tiber River. They threw him in there.
Because Thames is in London.
And yeah, they threw him in there, and then after... that pope died, the one that had tried the first pope. The next pope hated that pope so much that they went and dragged the first pope's body out of the river. And
they knew where it was?
And they reburied him. Hey, maybe it was the popes. Maybe it was just some other person who fucking died in the river, but they pulled some fucking skeleton out of the river and put it back in a pope's casket. I don't know.
All right. Well, on that note. Alec Murdoch believed that he was above the law. And for a period of time, he was. The Murdochs controlled Hampton County, and what they said went. For years and years, their crimes held no consequence, and they acted as if they were in the Wild West. Thankfully, the crimes of Paul Murdoch started to crack the foundation of the family's standing. Alec's crimes is what made it all come tumbling down. Alec Murdoch hurt countless people. His attempts to screw over all the victims of the boating accident, his attempt to screw over Gloria Satterfield's children, and his success in screwing over his clients caught up to him in the end. Alec Murdoch is a prime example of how people in power think that laws do not apply to them and that money can get them out of anything. Alec Murdoch is now sitting in a cold jail cell with the reminder that he is indeed not above the law.
You know what's even worse than that? He's still a ginger. Which is just, though?
He has no soul.
Oh. Yeah, well, there we go.
There we go.
So how's he going to get to hell, right? He's going to just be nowhere.
Limbo land. A ghost.
I love that place. They're always playing Mambo.
Mambo number 5.
At the Limbo. Limbo is the kind of music, isn't it?
Dun, 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 dun. That's right. That's Limbo, right?
I don't know, dude.
I hate the Limbo. I'm not very good at it. Because I got these huge tits.
I feel kidding. Like you're about as flexible as a log.
I'm not flexible.
So, yeah.
I am not flexible. I'll tell you that story later. Anyways.
Oh, great.
No. It's not yucky. It's not yucky, I promise. Well, thank you so much for listening to season 14 of White Collars, Red Hands. Mm-hmm. We are coming back for season 15. If you have any suggestions of a story that you want us to cover, please shoot those our way. You can do that via email at whitecollarsredhands@gmail.com. You can send us a DM on any of our socials. We're at facebook.com/whitecollarsredhands. We are on Twitter at whitecollarspod. We are on Instagram at whitecollars_redhands. We are on TikTok at whitecollarsredhands. We are on YouTube At White Collars Red Hands. Did I forget one?
TikTok?
I said that. I think I got them all. Anyways, if you look up White Collars Red Hands, you'll find us. We're going to be there.
Twitter?
At Twitter, White Collars Pod. I don't remember if I said it. Anyways, if you want another way to support us, please go to Spotify.
Please go to Spotify.
Please go to Spotify specifically and give us a 5-star rating.
Fuck yeah.
Or you can go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating.
Steal your friend's phones and give us a rating.
Please
on there,
give actually. Us a good rating.
Yeah.
Another free way to support us is by telling a friend.
Yeah.
That's, you know, word of mouth is probably the best publicity that we can get. Another way that you can support us, not free, is by buying some of our merch. I'm repping merch right now in this hoodie. You're like, God damn, you look so fucking sexy. How can I get that hoodie on my body? And that is by going to our website.
If you want us to do a boudoir shot of us, only in the
white collars red hand
sweatshirts, yeah, you better write that in the review.
You can write that in the review. And
if it's 5 stars, we get enough 5 stars asking for a boudoir shot of us just in the sweatshirts. We'll give you a whole calendar.
If you give us enough money, we will send you a boudoir shoot of us in the White Collars Red Hands hoodie. I am willing to do that for enough money.
I'll do a whole calendar spread, just me.
That's
just
fine.
Me. Yeah, we get 10 reviews. It's that low. If you get 10 reviews that are 5-star reviews that mention this boudoir calendar, I'll do it. And I'll send you one. I'm putting it out there.
You heard that here.
Anyone who listens to the outro.
I don't think I can say anything else.
Siren and all.
Well, thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you on another season of White Collars, Red Hands.
Jesus, where are these police going?